with God to come together to eat our meal and to pray to our Father and to sing together, teach each other, and just to be together. I hope that you find that a great blessing. I want to begin by showing two pictures that have something in common, and as you see them, you may wonder what they have in common. That is a picture, of course, of a launch pad at the Cape Canaveral in Florida. And that picture on the right is a photograph of Times Square in New York City on New Year's Eve. Now, what might they have in common? Well, both of these scenes involve a clock that is counting down to something rather monumental. As NASA prepares to launch any given space mission, whether it's a shuttle or a rocket or whatever else they've ever launched, there's a countdown till liftoff or blastoff. And then, of course, those who gather at that famous place to usher in the new year, they're, especially the last 10 seconds, they all chant in unison That's our topic together this morning. But they all chant in unison to counting down the coming of the new year. Well, a monumental day is coming that's more important than launching a rocket or beginning a new year. And that is the fact that Jesus is coming back. And we're sort of in a countdown to judgment. I don't mean to demean that in any way. I'm just giving that another way for us to look at this certainty. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start the clock. Let's say that if I could convince you Jesus is coming back in the next 25 minutes, what would you think about that? What thoughts would run through your mind? All the scriptures we can find, we can read, that promise is coming. It's all coming to fruition. And He'll be here in less than 25 minutes. So what would you think? What would you do? Many over the years have speculated, haven't they, about the coming of the Lord. Now, some reject the notion altogether. 2 Peter 3, look at verses 3 through 4 with me. Peter mentions some of these people. He calls them scoffers or mockers. He says they will come in the last days, the last time, walking after their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? I don't see any evidence of Him coming. All things remain the same," they say, "since the fathers have slept," or since the fathers have fallen asleep. Life has cycles. Life has these mundane, routine things that we go through, and it all seems the same to me, so I don't see any indication, is their argument, that He's coming back. You think there'd be a sign about that, but the mockers say that there's not. Others who claim themselves to be believers of one type or another, well, they've tried to make predictions about that. You can stand in the grocery store line and see these rag sheets off to the side there, and they make some stupid claim after another. Well, Jesus came back in such and so a time, or the Lord will come back in next year. Some who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses claim that He did come back many, many years ago, and that is their claim. Staying here in 2 Peter 3, look at verse 10. This is something we're talking about that man cannot know, and he does not know, though it is certain. But man does not know this. Look in verse 10. "The day of the Lord will come as a thief," some versions say as a thief in the night, "in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness?" Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These passages that I'm looking at right now all say the same thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Paul says, "Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that ought be written unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord also cometh, or so cometh as a thief in the night. When they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. And on we could go with other verses that tell us, oh, it's coming, but it's unexpected. No one expects the thief to hit at night. No one knows when, how, where. And the Bible says that's how the Lord is coming. But there is no doubt that He is coming. Jesus said in John 14, verses 2 and 3, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the angels told the 11 apostles as they stood gaping up into the heavens, why stand ye there gazing? Jesus will return, paraphrasing, in the same way in which He was taken up from you. So Jesus said He's coming back. The angels said He's coming back. We read passages where the apostles said He's coming back. There's no doubt He's coming back. You ever heard the phrase insider trading? It has nothing to do with the Lord coming back. But the concept is those who would trade securities illegally based upon having information that the general trading public does not possess. That way they can buy or sell, make a profit, and have an advantage. They sort of are given an advance notice about some information regarding the company. Well, I want to operate this morning under this premise. We have an advance notice. Jesus is coming now in less than 20 minutes. What are you going to do about that? Are you ready? Think about that as we answer some questions this morning. The fact that Jesus is coming back has profound significance on two groups of people, and only two. First off, it will affect those who have already died. 1 Thessalonians now, chapter 4. Look with me at verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord will Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and that are left shall together be with them, be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Also look with me at John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. John chapter 5, 28 and 29. Jesus said this, marvel not at this, do not be surprised at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment or damnation, the King James says. So the two groups of people are those that are dead and those that are alive. And you're in one of the two groups. And this day will affect everybody. The clock is ticking. We now have less than 17 minutes until Jesus comes, if operating under our premise this morning in our lesson. So is there anything that you need to take care of in the next little bit to meet this great I Am that's coming? Let me ask you some questions. As I need to think about this, and so do you. Number one, are there any unresolved issues in your life that will not withstand judgment? Is there something between you and another person that maybe no one else knows about, but there's a problem? It's strained relationships. It's made it hard for you to act as you should. Is there something that's known only privately by you and the Lord that's coming now in about 16 minutes? It's going to all be revealed. You'll not get away with it. Look with me in Romans chapter 14, starting at the last part of verse 10. Romans 14. The last part of verse 10 reads, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God." 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know the verse rather well. Verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Paul writes, "For we must all be made manifest," or appear, "be shown before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Less than 15 minutes, he's coming. Are you ready for that? Second question, do you need to repent of something? Make confession. It's a soul-searching question. Repentance is important. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, you'll all likewise perish." Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God has this promise. Yes, He does. And He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Sometimes we don't uphold our word, but God upholds His word. "Not desiring for anyone to perish." God wants no one to be lost, but He wants all to come to repentance. That's what God wants. Look with me at the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Acts chapter 3. This is Peter's second sermon. First sermon had great results. 3,000 obeyed the gospel when the church began. It had been in the mind of God all those centuries, but now it's finally here and active and functioning upon the earth. And now the second sermon in Acts chapter 3. Listen to his exhortation in this sermon. Acts 3, starting in verse 19. "Repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come seasons or times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth of His holy prophets that have been from of old." Jesus has been received by heaven and is there now, but He's coming now in less than 13 minutes. That's those times of restoration. Do you need to repent? Do you need to change? No one else knows. That's all going to change in less than 13 minutes. Are you ready for that? You need to be. James tells us in James 5 and verse 16 to confess your sins one to another. Sins need to be confessed. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. There's now a little more than 12 minutes left as we count down the judgment. It's getting closer. Are you ready? Our third question. Do you need to obey the gospel? That's the best question to ask. Are you outside of covenant with God? Oh, I've been to church a lot, and I've got a Bible, I read it, and that's all fine. I would never, ever disparage anyone from those holy activities. But the question remains, have you done what this great judge said to do to have your sins remitted? That's the question. And you don't have much time left, if this is how we're operating this morning. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting there in verse 6. Listen to how Paul describes. The contrast is between saints who were being oppressed, they were being put under distress or tribulation, And he sort of, well, not sort of, he does say words of comfort to them, encouragement to them, but he also addresses those who are doing the oppressing, who are putting saints under tribulation. Start with me in verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. If so be that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense affliction to them that afflict you, and to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of His power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them or on them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. You now have less than 10 minutes. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you rendered submission to the terms of the new covenant? Now, we can have the debate all day long about, well, the Old Testament said this. Yes, we know what the Old Covenant said. That's not the point, though. The point is the covenants have changed. And the Scripture teaches us now to look to what Jesus said. This great judge that's returning, what has He said? What has His apostles, whom He commissioned and delegated authority to, what have they said that you must do? You're not gaining anything by lingering, by delaying, by putting off, because He's coming now in a little less than 9 minutes. And are you ready for that? That's the question. And only you can answer that. Your parents can't do it for you. Your neighbor can't do it for you. If you're married, your spouse can't do it for you. You have to be ready. We shall all individually stand before this judgment seat and have to give an account. So don't be caught unprepared. He's coming. Our fourth question. Are there any failures in your life as you have tried to live for this great being on a daily basis that you need to take care of? Have you done some things, and I'm now speaking to children of God, not to those who need to obey, but now to you who are disciples and to myself. Anything in my life that I need to address, anything that I've done that I need to take care of before now He comes in less than 8 minutes? Public situations, private situations. Makes no difference to the Lord. Oh, well, no one saw me. Well, that may be the case, but the Lord saw. If you involved yourself in something that was untoward, if you willfully violated this covenant, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I want to read a section of the 10th chapter. It ends rather powerfully, precisely on what we're talking about here. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in the 19th verse. Now, this is how I know He's speaking to Christians, because of how this section begins. Having therefore, brethren, since we have boldness to enter into the holy place, that would be speaking only to Christians soon. Confidence or boldness to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the way which He dedicated for us, a new and living way, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having, or since we have, a great high priest over the house of God, here's our duties now. Let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water, that's we've been baptized. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. That's this day. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. A man that has said it not Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment or worse punishment, think ye, shall he be judged worthy, who hath done these things? Number one, hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. Number two, hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. And number three, hath done despite unto the Spirit or insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him that saith, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Look at verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And by that he means unprepared. It's now less than 5 minutes. And this is the situation that we could be facing if this passage directly and correctly describes us. I'm not trying to frighten anyone into obeying the gospel. I'm just putting somewhat of a realistic slant to this. Because at some point in time, He is coming. We don't know when. But our premise this morning is He's coming in less now than 4.5 minutes. And if this passage speaks to you, my friend, then you have time to take care of that. But you won't in less than 5 minutes. Then what? Verse 31. You'll be in the hands of this awesome being. And there'll be no more time for mercy or compassion. It'll be judgment. Matthew 7. Read with me, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Another familiar passage. Have you involved yourself in what I'm going to call some presumptuous activities, religiously speaking? Well, we do this and we do that, and surely we think the Lord will approve of that. Yes, but have you bothered to check the Lord's will? Does He approve of what you do religiously? You may be the finest person on the face of the earth. That's not the question. And really, whether I think you're good or not really is not the issue either. I'm not your judge. Will the Lord approve of it? Less now than 3.5 minutes. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me, when? In that day, this day. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? And by thy name cast out demons? And by thy name do many mighty or wonderful works? Look at all the good that we've done. And we invoked your name when we did them. Surely that's got to count for something. How about it, Lord? How about it? Verse 23. Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Now, he doesn't mean I didn't know anything of you. You're a stranger to me. That's not what that means. That means I didn't approve of it. I didn't recognize what you did. I didn't authorize it. It does not have my approval. Therefore, depart from me. See, the invitation, Lord, is come to me, all ye that labor. Come, and I'll give you rest. In this situation, he's saying, depart from me. I have no room for you. You've acted without authority, without my permission. And in that day, there's no room for you in my place. He's coming now in less than 2 minutes. Are you ready? I want you to think. We've all got to think about this. So as the clock counts down closer and closer to zero, and be honest with yourself, this is my only chart this morning. How much of an eye have you kept on the clock? I bet you've been watching it, haven't you? Now, He may come. He may really come in a minute and a half. But it won't be because I say so. That just may be when He comes. But even if He did, the closer this clock gets to zero, some things really don't matter. How much money you have doesn't really matter. What you do for a living does not matter. How many friends you have. How many people like you? None of that matters. Whether you graduate, whether you get that job promotion, whether you can find a job. And our economy is pretty bad right now. It's less than a minute. None of that matters. All that matters is that in less than 50 seconds, are you prepared for the coming of Christ? That's really all that matters. Think about this. Less than 30 seconds, just in a few seconds. In our premise this morning, you knew when He was coming. See, that's that advance notice. And you still did nothing. If that's the case. Well, since we do not really know when He's coming, shouldn't that make you all the more concerned? I would say so. 15 seconds, He's coming. What will you do? You getting nervous? If you're not prepared to meet Him? Less than 5 seconds. 2, 1 second. The clock reads zero and He has come. And you're not ready to meet Him. Now what? Will you beg for mercy and compassion? The answer will be horrifically sad. No. You had this time. You had time. I gave you time. And you delayed and you lingered and you procrastinated. And now there's nothing for you except judgment. Now two things will happen, that the Lord has come and the clock reads zero. Number one, hopefully you'll be in the group, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, that you'll be ushered away with the Lord. You'll be taken up into the clouds with Him to ever be with the Lord. That's one group that you can be in. Or the other group will be that you'll be sent away into outer darkness, as the Bible says, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, to endure tormenting anguish and pain that never ceases. The book of Mark says, where the fire is not quenched and where the worm dieth not, it never ends. You'll never have relief from that. Our last passage is in Matthew chapter 25, and Jesus, at least if He does not state it explicitly, as I understand these three parables of Matthew 25, He's talking about the coming back of the Lord and what we should do. The parable of the talents is we should work, we should labor for Him while He delays His coming, because the last parable mentions the judgment scene. That's where we're all facing. But Matthew 25, starting in verse 10, this is in the parable of the 10 maidens or the 10 virgins. While they went away to buy, that is the 5 foolish ones who did not have enough oil, they were not ready. While they went away to buy, the bridegroom came. See, the clock reads zero. He came. And they that were ready went in with Him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, knocking on that door, Lord, Lord, open up to us. We're here now. We're ready. We're ready to submit to You. We're ready for the feast. But He answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour. See, it's too late to seek His grace when the clock is reading zero. It's just too late. And if everyone else on the face of the earth obeyed the Lord, and you were the only one that did not, that would still be tragic. That someone made in His image will not get to spend eternity with his or her Creator. Now, fortunately for you, if you're not ready, this was just an illustration. He did not come back in 25 minutes. But we all know, we don't know when He's coming. But this will get played out in reality someday. You may go to your grave and not see it happen. Or you may be alive and remain when He comes. Either way, no one will escape this. I've asked Jeremy to lead this song. There is a great day coming. Are you ready for it? I really want you to search your soul. Check your heart. Are you what you need to be? There's time for you right now. You can be forgiven of your sins. You can obey the gospel. We can baptize you into Christ this moment. And then you can live as you ought so that you will be ready for this great day. But that choice is yours, my friend. Not someone else's. It's yours. Please give that some serious thought. And if you're unprepared, if you came into this building today unprepared, do not leave unprepared. Take care of it right now. We stand and sing to exhort you. Would you please come as we sing our invitation hymn?